Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're going to be looking at PayPal.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, you send over a bunch of their stuff, their 10Q, their earnings.
Yeah.
Call transcript investor presentation.
Yeah, they had a lot to say.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
So let's see what we can find out about this giant in the payments world.
Seems like they're really trying to navigate this changing world of payments.
Yeah.
You know, they're showing some pretty strong financial performance and making some moves that are interesting strategically.
Yeah. And I mean, right off the bat, when I was looking at this stuff, the revenue numbers really jumped out at me.
Oh, yeah.
6% growth. They're pushing almost $8 billion.
It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. And yeah. Then also their total payment volume, or TPV, is surging too, up 9%.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
So clearly they're still processing a ton of money.
Yeah, and they're getting good at it too. I mean, what's really interesting is how efficient they're becoming at actually making money from each transaction. So like their transaction margin dollars, you can think of that as their profit per transaction.
Okay.
Got like an 8% boost. And on top of that, they're producing a lot of free cash flow, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
It means they've got a solid financial foundation.
So financially, things are looking pretty good.
So,
but one thing that caught my eye was all this talk about revitalizing their branded checkout experience.
Oh, yeah.
And even admitting that they've been kind of lagging behind, especially on mobile.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
But it sounds like they're really serious about catching up.
Yeah, they're laser focused on user experience, especially making mobile payments smoother and faster.
Right.
Like, can you imagine if your payment on your phone just suddenly went through 45% faster?
Yeah.
That's what they've done. They've also got this new app switch thing for iOS, which has made checkout super reliable.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, and they're not stopping there.
Okay.
They're also rolling out these new checkout features that kind of nudge people towards using their buy now, pay later options.
Oh, interesting.
Which seems to be getting a lot of buzz these days.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And their new checkout experience has actually already boosted buy now, pay later usage by like 15-20%.
Wow.
And they're even like really trying to make it more available during the holiday season.
Oh, smart.
To really capitalize on all that shopping frenzy.
So it's like they're really trying to make the whole PayPal experience more appealing.
Yeah.
From like the checkout to the payment options.
Make it smooth.
And it seems like it's working.
Yeah.
Now, they also mentioned something called Fastlane, which I think targets all those times when you don't want to create an account when you're buying something online.
Exactly. Like, you know how most websites give you that option for guest checkout?
Right.
Well, Fastlane is designed to make that process even smoother.
Okay.
And since they launched it back in August, they've already gotten over 1,000 merchants on board.
Wow.
And they're making it super easy to use even for first timers with this new autofill feature.
That's smart. Just remove all those barriers to entry. And people are way more likely to use it. Have they said anything about bigger companies adopting it?
Yeah, definitely big companies are interested, but a lot of them are kind of waiting till after the holidays to integrate it.
Makes sense.
You know, they don't want to mess with their checkout system during the busiest time of year.
Yeah.
So right now it's all about getting as many people using Fastlane as possible before they even start thinking about making money from it.
So first, build a great user experience and then worry about the monetization.
Exactly.
Seems like a solid plan. But we can't forget about Venmo.
Oh, yeah, Venmo.
It sounds like they're putting a lot of effort into making it a bigger player in the game.
Big time, yeah. And the Venmo debit card is like their secret weapon.
Really?
Users with the debit card bring in like 4 times more revenue than the average Venmo user.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. And get this, in the third quarter alone, they saw a 30% increase in the number of monthly active debit card accounts.
Wow, those are impressive numbers. But yeah. I mean, are a lot of people actually using these debit cards?
So right now, only about 5% of active Venmo users actually have the debit card.
Okay.
Which means there's a ton of room for growth.
Wow. Yeah, imagine if they can get even half of those users to start using the debit card regularly.
That'd be incredible.
That'd be big. So what else are they doing to drive Venmo's growth?
They're really pushing pay with Venmo for online purchases.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's all about giving people this smooth and easy way to pay online.
Right.
And they're targeting both consumers and merchants with this one.
Okay.
And their approach is pretty clever.
I'm curious. Tell me more.
So on the consumer side, they're seeing some pretty good growth in monthly active pay with Venmo users.
Okay.
And these users are also generating 3 times the average revenue per account.
Wow.
But here's the really smart part. They're bundling pay with Venmo with PayPal checkout when they approach merchants.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's like encouraging merchants to adopt both at the same time.
Yeah.
And leveraging the power of that existing PayPal network to kind of boost Venmo.
That's really smart.
Yeah, it's like killing 2 birds with 1 stone, expanding both services at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, all this growth and innovation comes at a cost.
Right.
Let's talk about their financials and what they're saying about the future.
Sure. So one really important thing to remember is that they've been getting this nice little bump from interest on customer balances.
Oh, okay.
And this has actually boosted their transaction margin dollars by about 4 percentage points in the first 3 quarters of the year.
Okay. So that's a pretty significant chunk of change.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm guessing that's not going to last forever.
You're right. They're expecting this benefit to kind of shrink in the fourth quarter, and it might even become a headwind in 2025 if, as many people are predicting, interest rates start to drop.
Okay.
So it's something that investors are going to be watching closely.
Yeah. It's a good reminder that even a company as big as PayPal
is
affected by these larger economic forces.
Yeah, totally.
So what else should we be keeping in mind when we look at their financial outlook?
Well, they're expecting some normalization in transaction losses as they roll out these new products.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. New products always come with a little bit of risk.
Right. So they're saying that some of the recent improvements in transaction losses might not be sustainable in the long run?
That's probably a fair assessment.
Okay.
But they're clearly focused on managing those transaction margin dollars without relying too much on that interest income.
Right.
It's a way to kind of get a clearer picture of how their core operations are actually performing.
Right. So they want to show investors that they're building a solid business, not just riding a wave.
Yeah.
So what about their operating expenses? Any red flags there?
Well, they're planning to increase their non-transaction operating expenses in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Mainly to fund all those marketing and growth initiatives that we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah, with all those new products and the big push for Venmo.
Yeah.
It makes sense that they need to spend a little bit more.
Yeah.
But is this going to hurt their overall profitability?
Well, they're projecting full year non-transaction operating expense growth in the low single digit range.
Okay.
So while they might spend a bit more in the fourth quarter, it seems like they're keeping a pretty close eye on their overall budget.
That's good to hear. It's all about finding that balance.
Yeah.
Between investing for the future and making sure they're still profitable.
Exactly.
Have they said anything about what we should expect for 2025?
Well, they're kind of giving analysts a bit of guidance. They're suggesting that the 2024 operating expense growth rate, which they think is going to be in the low single digits, could be a decent way to think about 2025.
Okay, that's helpful for people trying to forecast what's next.
Yeah.
But of course, things can change quickly in this industry.
Totally. The payments landscape is constantly evolving.
Uh-huh.
And it's important to remember that those quarterly numbers can really fluctuate.
Well, I got to say, I'm impressed with what I'm seeing from PayPal so far.
Me too.
It seems like they're striking that balance between financial strength and innovation.
Yeah.
Which is no easy feat in this industry.
Not at all. It's really hard to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're not resting on their laurels. They're actively revitalizing those core offerings.
Yeah.
They're tweaking the pricing strategy, investing in these exciting new initiatives, all while keeping a close eye on the bottom line.
Right.
It's a pretty compelling story.
It is. And you know what? I'm even more excited to hear what they have to say at their Investor Day in February.
Oh, yeah.
They've promised to share more details about their long-term strategies and financial targets. So we'll definitely be tuning in for that.
Me too. It's going to be really interesting to get a glimpse into their vision for the future. But for now.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears a bit and talk about some of the regulatory and competitive challenges that they're facing, because the payments world is tough.
Yeah.
And they've got some hurdles to overcome. It's easy to get caught up in all the new products and those shiny financial numbers.
Right.
But we can't forget about the challenges PayPal is facing. Like,
yeah.
The regulatory landscape is constantly shifting.
Uh-huh.
And they've got some legal hurdles to clear.
Yeah. And their 10Q filing actually goes into quite a bit of detail about these legal and regulatory proceedings.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like they're dealing with a whole range of issues, from potential violations of anti-money laundering regulations in Australia.
Wow.
To inquiries from the Federal Trade Commission here in the U.S.
Yeah, these aren't just like minor hiccups either.
Right.
These proceedings could lead to some pretty hefty fines and penalties, or even force them to change how they do business.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something they're taking pretty seriously, judging by how much space they dedicated to it in their 10Q.
Yeah, it's definitely something for investors and users to keep in mind.
For sure.
I mean, these regulatory battles can be costly and time-consuming.
Yeah.
And they can sometimes even hurt a company's reputation.
Absolutely. And it's not just regulators they need to worry about either.
Yeah.
The competition in the payments industry is fierce.
Oh, yeah.
You've got those giants like Apple Pay and Google Pay battling for market share.
Yeah.
And then you have this whole wave of fintech startups nipping at their heels.
Yeah, it's a crowded field for sure.
Oh.
So how's PayPal positioning itself to stay ahead of the curve with all these competitors breathing down their neck?
Well, one of their biggest advantages is their massive global network. I mean, they've got over 430 million active accounts.
Wow.
And they process billions of transactions every quarter.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It gives them this treasure trove of data and insights
yeah.
that they can really use to their advantage.
Yeah. Data is king in the tech world.
Totally.
And it sounds like PayPal has a lot of it. But they're not just sitting on this data, are they?
No, not at all. They're using it to improve their risk management,
mm-hmm.
personalize user experiences, and even develop new products and services.
Okay.
It's one way they're setting themselves apart from the competition.
It makes sense. The more they can tailor their services to individual users and businesses, the more likely they are to keep those customers and attract new ones.
Exactly.
But size isn't everything. What else are they doing to stay innovative and competitive?
Well, they're really stepping up their innovation game. We talked about their efforts to revamp their branded checkout experience and launch Fastlane.
Right.
But they're also exploring these exciting new areas like cryptocurrency and digital wallets.
Oh, yeah. Those are definitely hot topics in the payments world right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are they making any significant moves in those areas?
Well, their 10Q gives us some clues about their cryptocurrency activities.
Okay.
They're already offering cryptocurrency trading through a partnership with Paxos.
Okay.
And they're even exploring the potential of stable coins.
Yeah, stable coins seem to be getting a lot of attention lately.
Yeah.
For those who might not be familiar, they're essentially cryptocurrencies designed to maintain a stable value.
Right.
Which could make them more practical for everyday transactions.
Exactly. And PayPal seems to recognize the potential of that technology.
Okay.
They're also experimenting with digital wallets, which could give users a more seamless and secure way to manage their money.
So it sounds like they're covering all their bases. From investing in their core offerings to exploring cutting-edge technologies, all while navigating this complex regulatory landscape.
Yeah, it's a fascinating balancing act.
It is.
They're both the incumbent and the challenger.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to the average user.
Okay.
What does all this mean for the way people interact with digital commerce in their daily lives?
That's a great question, and it's one that's becoming more relevant as the lines between online and offline payments continue to blur.
Yeah.
PayPal is clearly betting on a future where digital payments are just everywhere, seamless and personalized.
So imagine a world where you can use PayPal for almost anything, anywhere, without even thinking twice about it.
Exactly. That's the experience they're trying to create. Think about their PayPal Everywhere initiative.
Right.
They want to make PayPal the default payment option, both online and in physical stores.
Yeah, that would be a game changer. But security and privacy are always top of mind when it comes to digital payments.
Yeah.
Are those areas getting enough attention?
Absolutely. PayPal knows those are major concerns for users.
Yeah.
And they've built a solid reputation for security and fraud prevention.
Uh-huh.
They invest heavily in technology and people to safeguard user data and protect against unauthorized access.
That's reassuring. I mean, we're trusting them with more and more of our financial information.
Yeah.
So it's good to know they're taking security seriously. But beyond security and convenience, what other changes might we see from PayPal in the future?
Well, their focus on personalization is a big clue to their future direction. They're using all that data they've collected to create more tailored experiences and offer more relevant products and services.
So instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, we might see things like personalized recommendations, tailored rewards programs, and even financial management tools integrated into their platform.
Exactly. They want to be more than just a payment platform. Mm. They're aiming to become like your trusted financial partner, helping you manage your money, make informed decisions, and maybe even grow your wealth.
That's an ambitious vision, but it aligns with the larger trend of financial services becoming more integrated and personalized.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how they execute on this strategy and how it impacts users like us in the long run.
For sure. The payments landscape is a dynamic one.
Yeah.
And PayPal is right in the thick of it. They're facing challenges, they're seizing opportunities, and constantly innovating to stay ahead of the game.
And luckily for us, we'll get a deeper look into their plans at their Investor Day in February.
Oh, yeah.
They're promising to reveal more about their long-term vision and strategic roadmap. So that's something to mark on the calendar.
Definitely. I'm eager to hear what they have in store, but for now.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears and talk about another important aspect of their business, managing the risks associated with credit products and their commitment to promoting financial inclusion.
So let's talk about something that's been making headlines lately, credit risk.
Oh, yeah.
PayPal offers a variety of credit products, and anytime you're lending money, there's inherent risk involved.
Right, and their 10Q actually acknowledges those risks, you know?
Yeah.
They seem particularly concerned about potential defaults, especially given the uncertain economic climate we're in.
Yeah.
Things like inflation, rising interest rates, and the possibility of a recession could make it tougher for people to repay their debts.
It's like a domino effect. When the economy wobbles, people's finances often take a hit.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are they doing to minimize those risks?
Well, they're really leaning on data analytics and their own proprietary risk models to figure out who's likely to repay their loans.
Okay.
They're also working closely with partner financial institutions to kind of share some of that risk.
Right.
And make sure they're lending responsible.
So it's not just a free-for-all. They're being very strategic.
Exactly. They're also exploring some pretty innovative ways to manage risk, like selling portions of their consumer installment receivables portfolio to other investors.
Okay.
So it helps them spread out the risk and free up capital for other initiatives.
Sounds like they're taking a multi-pronged approach to managing this credit risk.
Yeah.
Which is a good sign. But let's not forget about the flip side of this financial inclusion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
PayPal's always been a big advocate for making financial services accessible to everyone.
Totally. And their commitment to that is super clear in their 10Q, you know?
Yeah.
They highlight all their efforts to reach underserved communities and provide them with the tools and resources they need to actually participate in the digital economy.
That's huge, especially in today's world where so much of our lives happen online.
Absolutely.
So what are some specific ways they're working toward this goal?
Well, they're working to expand access to their products and services in developing countries where traditional banking systems might not be readily available.
Okay.
And they're also partnering with nonprofits and community groups to offer financial literacy education.
Oh, wow.
And empower people to take control of their own finances.
It's really great to see a company like PayPal using its platform and resources to make a positive impact on society.
Yeah, it really speaks to their values and their belief that everyone deserves a chance to participate.
You know, it's part of a bigger movement towards a more inclusive and equitable financial system.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've explored PayPal's strong financial performance, their strategic initiatives, the challenges they're facing, and their commitment to both responsible innovation and financial inclusion.
Yeah, it's clear that PayPal is a company in transition, navigating a very complex and dynamic landscape.
For sure.
They're making big moves, investing in the future, and actively shaping the future of digital commerce.
Absolutely. And with their Investor Day coming up in February, we'll hopefully get an even clearer picture of their long-term vision and strategic roadmap.
Can't wait.
But for now, I think we've given our listeners a pretty good overview of where PayPal stands today.
I think so.
And what it all means for them, both as users and as people who are just interested in following the company's trajectory.
Agreed.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been fun.
We hope you found it insightful and informative. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep those questions coming. Thank you.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.